Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Barbara. Happy Halloween season. My favorite season, I might add. Welcome to episode 183 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 14th, 2018, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon, and through our kind support of our sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Stasco, South Park, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we'll be discussing ear plucking, Rosemary Part 2, and fleas. You can join the discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod wherever you listen to podcasts. Find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner, Patreon button, and donation button at www.thegroompod.com. Find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, Patreon button, and donation button at thegroompod.com. And continue to share us with all your grooming buddies and support our sponsors. Speaking of sharing us with all your grooming buddies, we are so feeling the Dave bump. It's unbelievable. When Dave Campanella does a seminar at a show, then we get a huge bump afterwards. And we've added like 86 people in the last week and a half.
Whoa, well, welcome all the newbies. We love
that. Isn't
that
cool?
I was amazed. I was on the website the other day and I happened to look at the window of how many members we had. And I was like, oh, look at us grow.
Yeah, it's so fun. I'm so honored that everybody is, you know, comes and hangs out with us. I like it. It's good. Anyway, so I got a new big doodle. I know I wasn't taking any new people, but this was a referral from another client that I've had for a really long time. And they told me the dog weighed 70 pounds.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Not a freaking chance. This dog probably weighed 95 pounds.
And jeez.
Yeah. And he was a stretch version. So
long
back.
That has consequences for like fitting in the tub.
Exactly. And not so much fitting in the tub because my tub is really big. It's 8 feet wide. It's just turning around is complicated. And the dog's 12 years old and he's a little arthritic, but he's super, super sweet. And I've got a way to walk him over to the table so I can use the belly support. So the people had the best decorations, the best Halloween decorations. They had little silhouettes of mice and rats and pumpkins and witches and moons and bats. And it was just the best decorated house ever for Halloween on the inside. They had stuff on the outside too, but nice people, really nice dogs. So I said, okay, I'll do it if you help me lift him into the tub. So I hoisted him into the tub, and it had been 4.5 months. The dog didn't have one tangle, not one tangle.
Wow.
So I took the yellow comb on my clipper vac, the yellow wall stainless steel comb, and I just did him down all over, and I did this kind of cute head, and it was a really nice, interesting, pleasant groom, but I was chewing on how much to charge. Because I recognize I really needed to charge a lot for this dog because it took me 2 hours. It took me almost two and a half hours. And it was a special needs grooming for sure. So I charged $125, which really was a bargain. But the dog was so easy. I mean, he even gave me his feet for the nail trim.
Oh, my goodness.
They paid me $150.
That seems pretty good.
I also said that he was really a little large for my setup, but because he was such a nice dog and in all other aspects, really a good fit for my business, as far as I'm the kind of person who should take care of him into his senior years, I said I'd keep doing him. So I'm in. I loved it. It was really fun. And you know what else? I got a gift. I went over to Cascade Grooming Supplies, my very best buddy, Michael, over at Cascade.
Right.
And he gave me some samples, and one of the samples he gave me was Chris Christensen's Ice on Ice shampoo with the argan oil in it. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't had a chance to try it. I saw it in an early perked my little eyes up.
it did soften the coat.
Yeah.
But it made it so shiny. I mean, just reflectively shiny. It has a nice cleaning ability. You know, it's expensive. He doesn't do the dilution rate thing that a lot of the other manufacturers do. But what a nice shampoo. I just wanted to mention it's ice on ice with argan oil. And good product. Interesting. I love it when I get free stuff from Michael. So I just figured I'd let everybody know it's worth a try if you like that really shiny, detangled, soft coat. It was fabulous.
I would really love to try some. So
what went on with you? Anything
exciting? Well, you know, I'm all hyped up about the launching of the Association of Holistic Pet Professionals. So this is kind of a resurrection of a previous group. And I have to admit that I didn't get fully engaged in the previous group. And in fact, I think not too many people did because it kind of died of malnutrition.
That's a good way to say that.
Kind of died of malnutrition, but there's still such a need for ways to integrate your continuing education into some kind of a stepping stone towards professional credentials. We've got to provide ways for groomers to become acknowledged masterful, you know, without necessarily having to do breed profile perfect Scotty trims. You know, I love breed profile. I'm passionate. I learned that way. And that's been a core of my grooming practice for like 40 whatever years. But there's got to be other ways for people to get some recognition that they've achieved greater knowledge. So listen, here's the deal with the holistic pet professionals. The more I engage with the board, and it's an association that's not just a one family or a one person operation. This is a team of five women, by the way, acknowledged leaders in the industry coming together to provide this opportunities for extended education and certification and mentoring. And, you know, so on and so forth, and sharing a holistic framework of grooming in life.
What does that mean exactly? Because that term gets thrown around a lot, and I'm not so sure people grasp the idea of holistic.
Oh, you would.
Oh, shit, you're talking about it.
pin me down.
I can cut it. I'll cut
no,
it.
It's... Listen, do you have an hour?
Yes, I do.
Well, I can go on. Of course, if you read the thing I wrote for them, it took me 3 freaking weeks to write it because I knew that groomers are going to be reading it. You know, like, can I quote from that?
Please. The reason I'm asking is because there's a bunch of people listening who really don't know.
It's really an excellent question. I know, you know, like it's a grade A plus excellent question. Just what the fuck is holistic?
Yes.
Okay, so holistic. Check this out. Holistic is really difficult to define.
Is that your first sentence? Oh my God.
Because it really refers to viewing the individual as a whole, not just a haircut, not just a body with a broken leg, but considering the physical, emotional, and even spiritual well-being of the animal in your care.
So meaning like mind, body, soul, I mean, that kind of holistic?
That kind of holistic.
Okay.
So holistic grooming tends to elevate the value and importance of stress reduction in the grooming salon. So, like, the dog's experience of grooming counts as much as the haircut that walks into his home, right? Okay. The experience of the grooming and the animal's perception of the grooming counts. Lots of us have been doing that forever.
Right.
You know, it's not that it's something new, but now it's a thing. and it's been applied. You know, the holistic practice of medicine has been around forever and embraces a number of different modalities. Acupuncture belongs in there, massage therapy, aromatherapy, you know, holistic methods and techniques kind of come at the situation in a different way. They're not specifically directed to this or that. It kind of just enhancing the well-being and the sense of well-being.
I like that.
So another part of holistic grooming is recognizing the value and the importance of skin and coat health.
Okay.
And the health of the pet in general. So my forthcoming project to install a weight awareness club with a platform scale and record keeping at my shop is all about looking at the animals that are coming in the door in terms of their health and well-being, even beyond the haircut. Having the conversation about, I mean, certainly when a dog gets too fat, it starts having trouble on the grooming table, as well as a whole load of other health problems can develop. But, okay, now where was I? I was doing pretty good there.
You were doing great.
Checking right along. And all of a sudden it went away. But
so we were talking about how it relates to grooming in our situations.
Yeah, and so managing the stress on the animal, managing your own stress, managing the energy in your workplace.
So does it include things like the crystals and the massages and
extreme
stuff?
All of the woo-woo stuff, you know, like you can't cherry pick. You don't have to practice everything. You don't have to believe in everything, but you need to acknowledge and respect and honor the role of crystals.
So how does the certifying come into play? Have you guys worked that part out yet?
Well, it's still in progress, but Basically we'll have a step-by-step. We'll have some kind of a stage that people will go to. We're going to be incorporating all of our group members' online education stuff, webinars, you know, everything, live casts. The members also have access to live question and answer, Q&A sessions, and mentoring sessions with all of the professionals. So it's Mary Aquindo, it's Melissa Contadiner, who's got great aromatherapy stuff, Michelle Knowles, Christine Pearson, Kirsten Reynolds, and Barbara Bird. We are the board of this group. Okay, so it's and we conduct our meetings online and in Messenger and all of this, and it's real fun. And then once a month we hook up and look at each other, and the more that I interact with the group and I see how the group is all non-judgmental, and there's a wonderful process that's been going on with our decision making and everything. It's been so easy and so smooth because it's just this women coming together and getting the job done kind of thing, and combining our knowledge and little levels of expertise. I mean, I would never be able to set up the bank account, but we had a board member for whom that was no big deal. You know what I'm saying? Well, I would have been able to set up the bank account.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Well, I know that it's important to encourage these kind of groups because it makes for friendly relations between groomers, for one thing, and it shares information and education for another thing. And it also gives us a face to the public if we need it, you know, something to
That's
put
right.
out there.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And this group is fundamentally committed to being different, to being really empowering of groomers and empowering of groomers to have a broad look at their grooming and to support leaders. I want to do a module down the road that's like mentoring for leadership in the industry. I want to find a way to help draw new people into the speaking and seminars and all of that who aren't necessarily vendors of a product and or competition grooming icons. You know, this guy, we've got to be able to bring these other kinds of voices. We've got to find ways in which groomers can make contributions to the industry beyond just their scissoring skills and everything, so that there's a future in the grooming industry for everybody.
I like that.
Boy, is that what, that was heavy, huh?
Very heavy, you know?
That just like came right from those deep brain cells, folks.
So where can they find information about what's going on? Is there a Facebook group?
There's a Facebook group. You have to be a member to be the Facebook group.
Right, but you can probably find it.
We're also going to have a map with pinpricks, you know, where everybody is and their little. And eventually we want to be able to do holistic facility certification.
I think that's got to be part of it.
I'm just very excited about it, Susie, because it just like seems like it's going to be a high class, viable alternative professional development thing, vehicle.
Okay. I think we need that.
Yeah.
I think that the more groups we can get in there to fight it out, the better off the end product will be after the chaff falls away from the wheat.
Okay, now what are you talking about fighting it out about?
Well, if we've got all of IPG, ISCC, the holistic groomers, the intelligent groomers, or whatever the heck they are, all these people, they're not, eventually, well, I guess I'm bringing up the fact that they're having a licensing fight right now in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to happen. They're going to, because government seems to want to put their hand in everything. It seems like eventually they're going to require some kind of licensing. And the better the group is that we have in place to put out there to help that get done, the stronger our licensing will be and the better off we will all be in the long run. And I think the more little groups like this one that we can put out there, the better the end result of the big group that we stick out in front of the government will be. That's all. Talk about heady. I'm always thinking things out. So now I've got you guys going up in front of Congress. So there you go.
No. That's not exactly what I was hoping for. Yeah. So what? Let's see. What's the website? I just came so prepared today.
Yeah. What's up with it? No. Okay, let me look.
I hit up a couple of customers for $100 towards my scale.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it went well.
HolisticPetAssociation.com. Okay, so where can people find out information, Barbara?
People can go to HolisticPetAssociation.com and you'll find several things. You'll find a little bit about what is a holistic pet professional, because that's always such a good question, Susie knows. And a little bit about who the members of the board are and how to contact them and become a member and the benefits of membership. So come take a look.
Cool. Well, I'm very excited at your new venture. I hope we can support you guys as best we can here on the Groom Pod. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and hear from Best Shot, our best buddy's Best Shot, our ingredient disclosing pal's Best Shot. And then we're going to talk about whether to pluck or not to pluck. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Well, it's known throughout history, or at least history of the podcast, that we always land on opposite sides on this discussion. This is like our third time discussing it, but it's part of our everyday life, and it's really an important topic. So we're going to talk about ear plucking. And Barbara, state your case.
Well, I am on the side of less is best of the hair plucking. And by plucking, I mean the actual pulling out of the hairs of the ears of the dog. And I started kind of slacking off. I have never liked to pull every single dog's hair. Boy, I've had some schnauzers. I've lost some good relationships. I've lost friends over... over this, and it saddened me because my whole reason for being a groomer has to do something with a Tarzan and the Apes thing, Barbara and the dogs, we're supposed to be like best friend. The reason I did not become a vet was because I couldn't stand the part where you had to do something that hurt the dog. And you can talk about technique, you can talk about products, but the other thing is that every time you pull a hair out of the skin, you leave an opening that is an invitation for bacteria to invade. And when you're plucking a lot of hair out of an ear, then you have a lot of open follicles. And certainly it's been established by the veterinary dermatologist that the risks of creating an ear infection from plucking, frequent plucking, is greater than the benefits.
My turn.
Yeah.
Counterpoint.
Go ahead.
Yes. Jane, you ignorant slut. Remember those?
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, I'm veterinary trained. And part of the reason that I got along so well with the vet is I am like the queen of ear cleaning. I love cleaning ears. I love getting all the hair out of there. I'm a very logical person, and common sense makes sense to me. And when you started to explain 3 years ago that leaving the opening where you've pulled the hair out leaves it at risk, that made sense to me. So I went on like a 3-year experiment where I didn't pull ear hair. I mean, I just didn't pull ear hair. Sometimes I discussed it with the owners. Other times I didn't discuss it with the owners, but I left for many, 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 many grooming cycles, left all the ear hair in all the dogs. What I found is ear hair grosses me out. It just grosses me out. I can't help it. What I was finding in my Shih Tzus, which are primarily the dogs that I do. I mean, I do a lot of drop coat Shih Tzus and Havanese and things like that. And especially in those dogs that have kind of crappy genetics, the function of the hair to wick the wax out and wick the moisture out and get rid of that stuff creates a nasty grease slick down the side of the dog's face. And even my best efforts at getting that off of there and off of the inside of the ear flaps, I was finding I was having a really difficult time getting faces clean. So I started to selectively go back to pulling your hair. And it is way more selective than I used to be. I just used to shave everything I could shave out of there and then put the powder in there and pull everything dead that would come out. I've always been really good about not getting hair that hurt, just getting hair that was actually way deep and didn't really cause a reaction on the dog, because I too didn't want to be a full-time vet tech because I don't like hurting the dogs either. So I started to pull out that hair that was really causing gross grease slicks on some of these dogs. And I'm not seeing any excessive amount of ear problems. As a matter of fact, I hardly ever see ear problems in dogs anymore. People have kind of corrected that with diets, and with the exception of dogs that swim all the time or dogs like Cocker Spaniels, which I don't do anymore. Yay. I really don't have those issues. So through selective choice of whose dog's ear hair to pull instead of blindly pulling all dogs' hair, which I don't anymore, I still am pulling some dog's hair. I guess that's what I'm admitting to. Even after 3 years and you telling me 8 million times that we don't want to leave open hair follicles that can cause a potential for infection, I've just decided that I do much better by removing that hair and getting that area clean and doing it on a regular basis. So I don't do it with dogs that seem to be genetically predisposed to having lots of ear infections. Those dogs got to go to the vet and get treated. Unfortunately, part of going to the vet that I work with is that then he's going to send them back to me to get their ear hair pulled.
Well, you know, a lot of well-established and perfectly wonderful vets, this information about ear plucking comes from advanced knowledge that has been developed in the specialty of veterinary dermatology. And, you know, like the word doesn't always go back. And here again, it depends on what the vet is doing in the way of continuing education. And, you know, like they have to do a certain amount of stuff to keep their credentials up, but you always get to choose what you continue to educate yourself about, you know? And by the way, one of our podsters sent me a link to a podcast, a veterinary library of podcasts about the fear-free in the veterinary clinic. So I'm going to listen to some of those.
Yes, and I got it too.
Yeah, she sent it to you too. I thought that was really helpful. I listened to a podcast this morning about noise aversion as a diagnosis, as a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, you know, definitely.
Yeah. And but anyway, I digress. A lot of older veterinarians don't accept the new information about that less is best in ear care. Less plucking is best. And the veterinary dermatologist that I heard this from was firm. It was not a maybe it's better. She was firm. She said, if there was one thing I would like to ask of you groomers, it's to back off.
So what do you do with the grease slick?
I've never had a grease slick. I don't know. I use a ear cleaner. I clean the ears and I trim around the outer ear. And if it's growing into a pigtail there, I snip it off, you know.
So it's exactly that pigtail that causes the grease right there. Underneath the ear. It's the pigtail.
I never let it get like that.
Well, I don't have a choice. I mean, I always cut it off. Every grooming cycle, I'm cutting it off. But some of those grooming cycles are 3 months.
Yeah.
See, on a 3-month dog where I'm not seeing it for 3 months, it's gross under there. Gross. And that little teeny tiny little ponytail is hanging way down. It looks like ear hair at that point. I mean, it's
Now, come on.
I'm exaggerating a little.
You know, like I groom Shih Tzus too, and I don't have this thing going on with them having grease down the sides of their face.
Well, of course, these are dogs that are being medicated. You know, so the owner is helping this along usually because they can't get the ear medication into the ear because it's all stuffed up with the ponytail. You know, it just seems easier to treat an infection without a bunch of hair in the way because the medication doesn't get in there. You know, so that's the point at which the doctor sends the dog back to me and says, get the ear hair out of there, because their technicians, they've got other things to do. So he likes me because I pull the ear hair, but I will say to his credit, he does a lot of continuing education, both online as well as traveling twice a year to two, but who knows what he's taking when he's there.
That's just That's just it. You know, ear plucking is probably not, you know, there's probably not a line outside that door.
There's probably not a huge line outside the dermatology door either because there is a dermatology specialist. So I would say that he's probably going on what's happening in his own practice, which guess what? Those are my doctors.
So listen here. We both do this. When it makes such good sense to you, then it becomes the truth, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, like, and I'm going to tell you that the dermatologist definitely, and it wasn't just her, it was
I'm not denying it.
No. So
I'm not denying it. I'm just saying.
Okay, everybody, we're having our first fight.
No, we're not. We're having our third fight. We go through this every year. The truth is, if I didn't take the opposite opinion, we wouldn't have a great conversation. So I'm taking the opposite opinion. Yeah.
I rarely believe in an all or never, an always or never thing. You know, I pull out some ear hair. I pull out some of the Bedlington because it gets looking kind of greenish and I don't like that, you know. But I don't do that show dog, go after every freaking hair.
Okay, thing. I don't do that either.
I just pull out enough so that I think that there's air passage in there. I use an alcohol and whatever ear cleaner. I like alcohol in my ear cleaner to dissolve that wax and create a less oily environment there. So, we're far apart, but we overlap.
Oh, we're not far apart. I play far apart for the show. Come on. So, you know what I really love, though?
What's that?
Brain hairs. I love finding and pulling out a brain hair. You know, like the one that keeps coming out. It doesn't even seem like it's physiologically possible for that hair to have grown that far into the ear canal. Yeah, it just comes out like a spaghetti noodle, and then you have to parade it around and show people. You're not going to believe what came out of your dog's ear. Look at the lace on this. I love that. I find that extremely gratifying. I know I'm sick. I need help.
Okay.
We are going to go ahead and hear from South Bark Professional Pet Products, i.e. show season. But we're going to hear about the South Bark Pet Foamer. And then we're going to go back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Back to school. Veterinary vocabulary today is coprophagia. Do you know what coprophagia is?
Yeah. Eat shit.
Yes. It is. It's the poop eaters. Have you ever had a poop eater? Oh my God, it's so gross.
Oh, you know what? I've got one.
Oh yeah, it's yucky.
But Marco doesn't always eat them. Sometimes he just relocates them. So he brings outdoor poop indoors and leaves it in my path. And I got some on my fuzzy slippers.
Oh, that's a dirty trick.
I hate to get, well, anyway. Yeah, it's a disgusting thing. But, you know, one time, I think I mentioned this year before last, but one time I watched a program on shit eating.
No.
This was a National Geographic. There's a nice name for it, but why bother?
It's called coprophagia.
Well, that's when it's a condition. But some animals just, you know, like there are species of fish that follow the rhinoceroses so that they can eat the shit. You know,
and
like
rabbits, you know, like their own poop every night. They call it the night feces.
Yes, I know. Well, I saw a whole lot of this shit eating going on. And so it kind of helped me modulate my own reaction to seeing a dog eat some, because it's another way in which dogs are animals. Man, they're animals. We call them fur babies. You can put a diaper on them, but you know what? They're going to eat shit.
They're
going to.
They're going in the kitty box. Looking for Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All right. Grooming glossary. You can tell I had a sense of humor this morning. Roach back. And I was trying really hard to come up with a stoner joke or a joke about cockroaches, but I couldn't really muster up either one.
So, I know, I was just trying to find something like that too. No, but a roach back is when they're hunched.
What breed comes to mind?
Well, there's a natural roaching in the Bedlington Terrier.
And the Whippet.
And the greyhound.
It must be speed. It must be an adaptation for speed.
Well, it because yeah, well, sure, you can look at it because if you're like already stretched out and you're running, yeah, it's different. But if you're kind of coming in and you know, you have a bigger spread of your, you know, your spine. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
I was wondering. No, but it seems like fast dogs have roached backs, but yeah. I could be wrong on that. Slab sides and roached backs.
Look at you go with that vocabulary, girl.
Connect dots where no dots should ever connect. But all right, so let's go on to our definition du jour, which is brought to you by Show Season.
Okay, so today I wanted to kind of add some information about rosemary oil that I didn't cover in the previous segment, which was like episode maybe 181.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago. So I wanted to talk a little bit and acknowledge that rosemary extract and rosemary oil are in the list of natural preservatives. So you will sometimes see these supernatural products as having rosemary oil in there. Or they may, usually they'll let you know, we preserve with just rosemary oil. Well, how good is rosemary oil at that job?
Good question.
So that's a good question. So I looked at, into it a little bit deeper. And the truth is, rosemary extract or rosemary oil is an excellent antioxidant. So that means it's going to keep oils from going rancid. And in that case, the best application of rosemary as a preservative is in oil-based cosmetics like creams and salves and, you know, that kind of stuff, rather than the water-based products like shampoos and conditioners. So in terms of its, it has antibacterial properties, but it's not an effective preservative. You would have to use so much of it that you couldn't have a product. You know what I'm saying? It's just doesn't work so well in a water-based environment. It doesn't do that thing, but it's very good as a preservative in the oil-based product. So you want to kind of notice if they're raving about using rosemary extract, the possibility is it's either a poorly preserved product or they've got other stuff in there that's really doing the job. You know, like sometimes that's a marketing tactic. You'll tout the benefits of one sort of smaller, lesser ingredient so that you don't have to talk too much about some to take the attention away from some other ingredients that you might not want to, you know, to lean on.
Right, like maybe stuff with more chemical sounding names.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like potassium sorbate. I think that's one of these, you know, it's kind of a natural alternative, but it has a very chemical sounding name. And so, you know, and well, anyway, I just wanted to pass on to you that there is a whole extract and oil as a preservative. And the most important part of that is as an antioxidant to keep things from spoiling.
Antioxidant meaning oxidation is exposure to air, that kind of thing?
Well,
is that what an antioxidant is? I guess I'm asking. It means it doesn't oxidize? Or am I connecting more dots that don't belong together? Hang on. I'm going to look it up.
No, I have it. Wait a minute. It keeps free radicals down. You know, an antioxidant, it fights free radicals so that they don't cause mischief.
I was not wrong. And a substance that inhibits oxidation, especially one used to counteract the deterioration of stored products. And in this case, stored food products, but
food and
antioxidant. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of your oils will oxidize if there's not an antioxidant present.
Yeah, I know that olive oil will go bad. It certainly goes bad. You should keep it in your refrigerator if you're not.
I've never had it go bad.
It stays around my house too long, and eventually it smells funny. And if you try to cook your hash browns with it, then your hash browns smell funny. Just an FYI there, a little more information than you need for your grooming day. Sorry.
I can't go on.
No, I've lost Barbara.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. Listen, I think that wraps it up. I just wanted to say about Rosemary, I don't trust it a whole lot, okay? How about that?
I like that. I like that's a good way to wrap up that segment.
Yeah, I want a little more than a rosemary extract to preserve my stuff. Thank you.
Okay.
And moving along.
Yes. That segment was brought to you by Show Season Pet Product.
So, Susie, speaking of show season, I had an interesting message and request from Sandy Giorgi, the big boss mama at Show Season. And she's asking us to please clarify for groomers what the purpose of the safety data sheet is and how to use them, what it means to the individual groomer and what it doesn't. So,
okay, didn't they used to be called something like the MSDS or something?
It used to be called the Material Safety Data Sheet. Okay. But in about 2015 or 16, the safety data sheet structure, the questions that you have to answer and everything, has gone from one page to four pages. And they've kind of redone the requirements and the information on the safety data sheets. And what's happening is that a lot of groomers think that the information on those sheets or in those documents has to do with the safety of the product that they bought, okay? And that's not really true, because the safety data sheet is really meant for first responders and for industrial application of individual ingredients. So a safety data sheet for a shampoo that contains sodium lauryl sulfate would be, what are the warnings for people working in the sodium lauryl sulfate factory or in right. the manufacturing plant of the shampoo where they're handling it in 5-gallon drums or 50-gallon drums and, you know, things like that. It does not necessarily have much of anything to do with the product, except for things like eye irritation, skin irritation, that kind of thing. But, you know, just because a product contains something that has a potential for irritation doesn't mean that it will irritate.
So it's more for how to treat the irritation if you suspect it's come from that ingredient out of that product.
Well, it isn't even really that. It's really what the fireman should know about, you know, are these chemicals going to be dangerous if they get all over you?
Okay.
You know, or if you slip and fall into the shampoo
bin. Into the vat. In the gigantic vat of shampoo. There's a picture.
There's a picture. Right?
Barbara floating in a vat of shampoo.
What I would want it to be, show season bright shampoo, because it would make my white hair look whiter.
I would like it to be Bliss, because I like the way it smells and I look good in pink. If you guys want some shampoo so you can fill a vat and fall into it, you can go to showseasongrooming.com and look at all of the things they have to offer. Also, if you'd like to place an order and want to know about the wholesale price, you need to give them a call at 678 832-0218, or you can email them if you've already got an account set up. And they're also available with many local distributors like Groomers Mart and, most importantly, Michael at Cascade Grooming Supply. All right, let's hear from Evolution and then get to our At the Table segment, which is all about what happens when you get fleas in your mobile grooming vehicle. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. As you know, I'm not really taking any new clients, but I always take cats because cats usually aren't on a regular schedule. They're usually on an as-needed basis, so I don't have to worry about shoehorning them in, you know, to a regular appointment that's going to fall every 4 weeks. So I randomly got a phone call from a lady with a mother who was having cancer treatment. She was probably in her late 80s or early 90s, the owner of the cat. And the daughter had found me, I don't know where. I'm not even sure where they located me from, maybe the vet hospital. And they had a cat that desperately needed some grooming. And my first available appointment is like November 6th or something. And this was a week ago. That's a long wait. So yeah. I didn't figure I was going to be able to help them. So I was going to call them during polite hours after 9 a.m. and let them know that I would be happy to do their cat, but it's a long wait for me to get them on the schedule and that maybe I should refer them to one of the other local groomers. And then my next day's 2 o'clock appointment canceled. So I thought, okay, cool. I'll put that cat in there. I'll do a nice thing for a lady who's having a hard time. I'll make the cat feel better. I'll make the lady's house feel, you know, smell nicer and, you know, make a little tidy sum at the same time and not lose that appointment. So I went over there and the cat was probably 5 years old and at least 20 pounds. And a female, small female cat, 20 pounds. Little head on a gigantic body, covered with mats because she can't clean herself. And probably a gray and white medium-haired cat. And I touched the cat, and it felt like the cat had been rolling in grit. And I went, dang, what do I do now? Well, I'm not going to let the cat infested with fleas stay in the house with the lady that has no hair and is going through chemotherapy and is 90-something. I'm not going to do it. So I took the cat out. I only had one more appointment that day. She was not necessarily a willing participant, but she wasn't awful. The minute I shaved her, I saw just a colony. just a massive colony of fleas everywhere. Her whole back was alive, covered in flea dirt, covered in mats. And I was like, oh, crap. Well, now I've got it in my trailer. I shaved the cat down with a 7-blade. The mats were not tight. It was just the cat was so desperate to get the fleas off of her. And I put her in the water, and the water just turned blood red. It was so gross because the cat had a white bib, and the white bib looked like it had been part of the Halloween Horror Nights from the week before. Just gross. So I gave it a Capstar right off the bat, which at this point I didn't even ask permission. My vet has never had a reaction to Capstar. It's about the safest thing I could do at the moment. So I gave it the Capstar right at the beginning of grooming, which was a chore because the cat was not easy to pill. But I got it down there. It spit it out on the floor like 3 times. Just kept throwing it in. But I did get it down. And I used Grime Time in my recirculating bathing system. First, I made a ring around the cat's neck with Grime Time out of the jug. And then I put it in the water and I ran it through the bathing system and I got the cat cleaned as best I could. Then I rinsed that water out on their driveway because there was no way I was I'm taking anything back out of this house. So I rinsed the cat, the yuckiness away. I took everything out of my clipper vac and I bagged it in my garbage bag. And then I went around to my shop vac and I emptied my shop vac out and I bagged it in my garbage bag and I left it there when I was done. I was able to wash the cat. And since the cat now had no hair, I was able to see the fleas, and in the bathtub while it was soaking with a full soap down of Grime Time on the cat's body direct, I let it sit there for 10 minutes and I picked fleas off the cat with my flea comb. It was so gross. And I got them and I put them into, I popped some of them, but the rest of them I kind of put into a solution of Grime Time on top of a baby wipe. And I just picked them out of the flea comb and I just put them in there, even though I know that it didn't appear like it was really slowing them down a whole lot. Eventually, they started to die or suffocate or whatever it is that happens to fleas when they get affected by whatever it is that's going to kill them. Because that's a myth out there. There's no, I cannot find anybody who says definitively, including Bear, how a flea dies from a shampoo or a toxic, and other than when it goes internally. They can explain that, but they can't explain how when you wash a cat in Dawn, it kills the fleas. At least stuns them. And so anyway, needless to say, I did my very best to pick all the fleas off of this poor cat. And from that moment on, the cat was just purring and so lovely. But I was not going to blow dry that cat in my grooming trailer. No stinking way am I going to blow the rest of those fleas into corners. Wrapped the cat up. I put it on a moisture magnet that was light in color. I put that moisture magnet in my crate, put the cat on top of the moisture magnet, set it outside. Then I started vacuuming like a madwoman and spraying and vacuuming. And I pulled up my floor mats and I vacuumed everything. I mean, I know I vacuumed that trailer before I even pulled away from that house. They did have flea treatment in the house. So they came out with a thing of Revolution and I did my very best to apply it. But I said, you're going to need to reapply it in like 3 weeks because this cat is really heavy and I'm putting it on wet. But I had to do something because I couldn't just imagine sending that cat back into that environment. And that poor lady, she must be eaten alive unless she's one of those where the chemotherapy is coming through her skin and the fleas just don't want to bite her, don't which I can it. Imagine. Yeah. So then I got to my next appointment, which is my bulldog every other week, bath, easy, Zoe. But that dog has never had a flea and it's not on a flea treatment program at all. And I happen to know this. So I thought, do I call and cancel the appointment or do I just go there and cancel the appointment? Because if she is on a flea treatment and I have vacuumed everywhere, it's probably okay for me to wash the dog. She's white and I can look for anything that gets on her. But do I really want to risk that? More importantly, do the owners want to risk it? So I gave them the option to cancel and they did cancel. I didn't wash the dog right after that cat. Instead, I came home and I treatment sprayed the entire trailer and I let it sit out there overnight and I pulled everything up and I vacuumed everywhere and I took all the garbage and left it at the place.
Shit.
And then the next day I had some light colored dogs at my assisted living. And I know there's fleas in that building, so I didn't really have any regrets at taking these dogs in, these next dogs, but I never found fleas on them, nor did I find any fleas the next day. So I think it's fine. But Oh my God, talk about ruining my day. No good deed goes unpunished. I mean, it's just. And as I'm looking at you, Barbara is itching. And I have been itching ever
since. I know. It just
damn
makes
cat
you
has been in the trailer.
I know. It's I know. So I get that. I get that response too when it's that bad.
Oh, you know? I'm driving away, and I think they're in my socks, and I think they're in my hands, and that are on my hands, and I know that they're in my laundry now. So I had to leave my laundry outside for like 2 days, and then I finally went straight into the water and washed it like that in really hot water. Holy cow, man! I hate fleas. Anyway, that's that. I just needed to vent.
I am so blessed that we don't have those kind of flea problems here. I mean, we so rarely see fleas. But you know what I saw the other day? I don't know if you know what this is. This is Rufus, the kind of poodle mix, kind of blonde cockapooey kind of dog, little guy, cute. And they've moved from our neighborhood into the ghetto because that's where they had own property over there, and they've just been living downtown and having a different lifestyle. Well, Yvonne found a number of ticks on Rufus. And then as I was grooming him, I found a few of these places that are like black wax, almost a scab, could look like a bug if you didn't look too close, and it's not attached to the skin, but a little bit removed from the skin. And he had a couple of those things on his shoulders and whatnot, and then a big one on his tail. Have you ever seen that skin problem?
Could they have been like dead ticks?
No.
No? Embedded?
No. It was attached to the hair, but not to the skin.
Interesting.
And it was waxy.
No.
It was waxy. Okay, well, I'm just going to continue to ask. I didn't take pictures of it, but
darn.
But we did make a note in Rufus's file, and the next time he comes, we'll do a Nagaya knockoff spa treatment.
Oh, yeah, do report back on that if he still has them and stuff.
Yeah, it's a condition of some sort, I'm sure. I just didn't really recognize it. It was a beyond my diagnostic skills. Yeah. I don't see more than one or two flea cases a year. She's making the sign of the cross.
Yes, she is. She's fending herself off from the fleas. We get a lot of fleas in the area, but my clients are very responsible. If they're having me come groom their dogs every month, they're pretty responsible people. So if I spot a flea, they immediately run out and buy flea treatment and take care of it. So I don't get this. This is a rarity for me. Occasionally, like I said,
good
that
thing,
old folk
because comes, you can't handle it.
No, I'm so itching. Oh, my God. As a matter of fact, I need to go take a shower. Let's call this show done. Thank you for listening, everybody. Remember to shop on Amazon. The holidays are coming up, and Amazon is really a great way to support the show. Just go to our website, thegroompod.com, and click on that Amazon banner, and it takes you into Amazon, but it gives us credit for talking about it on the podcast. Thanks for being here, Barbara. Shall we do it again next week?
It's a date, Susie. I wouldn't have a Sunday without you.
All right. Happy grooming, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.
Take care, you sirs.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.